Ian Fitzsimmons here, and I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I was skeptical about ordering plants online. Like, this is actually going to show up alive at my house? But after my wife and I ordered from Fast Growing Trees, convinced. They have this thing down to a science. They've built a whole system to protect your plants until they arrive. They even have a lab where they test against cold, heat, humidity, you name it. Any condition, they've got it. And they thrive. We couldn't believe how good our plants looked when they arrived at our doorstep. And everything showed up exactly how we expected. A perfectly healthy plant that was easy to unbox and ready to go. Every order is backed by their Alive and Thrive guarantee. And you'll get ongoing support from real knowledgeable experts. They have unbelievable deals on spring planting essentials, and right now you can get an additional 20% off your first order with the code SPORTS at checkout. That's 20% off at fastgrowingtrees.com with the code SPORTS. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's fastgrowingtrees.com, code SPORTS.
Comcast is delivering extraordinary experiences in live sports. Through the incredible broadcast and storytelling from NBC, innovative and personalized viewing features on Xfinity and Peacock, and the country's most reliable Wi-Fi, viewers can enjoy every game-changing play faster and more seamlessly than ever. All in a network built to deliver unforgettable moments as close to live as possible. The ultimate experience for the American sports fan. Learn more at comcastcorporation.com/sports.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
So please, welcome the greatest performer ever to have graced this earth.
Rich Eisen.
We are back, baby.
We are back!
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests, ESPN NBA insider Shams Charania, ESPN NBA analyst Tim Legler, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show, back in the chair after a few days in walkabout. In the great states of Connecticut and New York, I am sitting back in the chair right here in Los Angeles, California. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Hello to the audiences watching and listening. And thanks to Kirk Morrison and Tommy P, Tom Pelissero, for expertly holding down this fort over the last few days. So much to talk about since I last sat in this chair. The NFL released its schedule. Aaron Rodgers is back in the NFL as the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The NBA playoffs advanced. The NHL playoffs advanced. And Otani is pitching again tonight looking for a Cy Young Award. While also hitting very well. Speaking of that, good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
I mean, it's okay to say he's not hitting very well because he's not.
All right.
He's hitting
good to see you over there, Chris.
Hey, what's up, man?
Good to see you back in your
chair.
Great
to see you, man. What's up?
DJ Mikey D is in.
Good morning, Rich.
That's Mike Del Tufo. Hello, TJ Jefferson. What's going on?
Great to see you back, Richard. Of all those things you mentioned, the one thing that you forgot, and I can understand how you could because there's so much.
I was in the New York metropolitan area. I know where you're going.
New York is a Mets town. It's a Mets town. We've proven that. Subway Series champions.
Mets town.
It's a Mets town. You know, you didn't really want to talk about
it. It just confirms what the mercenary once upon a time said.
Well, he knew what.
Very good.
Side to be.
That's terrible.
Right side of
history. We'll talk some baseball on this program.
The
NFL schedule has been released, so I have yet to play the win-loss game with the Rich Eisen Show audience, which I've been told in my absence has been dialing 844-204.
I thought you've just been champing at the bit to play the Rams and Chiefs.
That's very good. Very good. Okay. I appreciate it.
I didn't know if that was.
No, it's okay.
You can that's who he's
slander me all you wish.
That's is that slander?
It is.
I don't think that's true.
It hurts sometimes.
It is. No, call up and let's play the win-loss game, everybody. I've got the schedule right here in front of me. All right, let's talk about the latest in the NBA playoffs, which is the Cleveland Cavaliers coming off of that Game 7 blowout win in Detroit after failing to close things out in the Eastern Conference semifinals against Detroit in their home court.
My goodness gracious.
That's one way to put it.
And we were all wondering, would their seven-game slog against Detroit bring Cleveland to New York City against a well-rested Knicks team, tired and beaten down, and would the Knicks potentially, however, be rusty for sitting out a week, even though that extra time allowed them to get OG Anunoby back in their lineup? And through three-plus quarters of this game, it was on the side of Knicks being rusty and the Cavaliers being full of momentum, coming off of the blowout win in Detroit, blowing the doors off of Madison Square Garden to the tune of 93-71 with 7:50 remaining. And if you looked at your ESPN app at the time, you saw Cleveland having a win probability of 99.9%.
Jeez.
I mean, if Anthony Edwards was on the Knicks, he would have been congratulating the Cleveland Cavaliers.
He would have walked off.
8 minutes to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Walked over and just shook their hands.
Hey, that's a great game. 1, 2, 3, Kuku.
No. But the Knicks did not pull their starters, as the Timberwolves did at that time. They kept their starters in. And Jalen Brunson came up with a performance for the ages that will be talked about in New York for some time to come, especially if the Knicks are having a special season unfold, as it appears to be. Because number 11 sparked a 44-11 run for the rest of the way. 44-11 is how the Knicks outscored Cleveland after being down by 22. And the numbers are breathtaking. Jalen Brunson at one point had five straight field goals to cut the Cavaliers' lead to 5. He was unbelievable. Exactly who Knicks fans hoped would show up and rescue the day. All of the Knicks offensive juggernaut conversations about how Karl Anthony Towns is a point center and how everything was working through him. All of that went out the window, and hero ball returned, and as Mike Breen called him, the Brunson burner got turned on. And he put on a cape and is exactly why he's one of the greatest Knicks of all time, one of my favorite Knicks of all time, the guy who pulled me back in from the Dolan wormhole to start rooting for this team again.
You were out.
I was way out. I couldn't have been more out. I was more out than Charles Oakley, which is what caused me to be out.
Thanks.
And this guy just pulled me back in because he's exactly what the Knicks needed and were looking for years, when nobody was willing to take Dolan's money and try and lead a comeback for this franchise. Unbelievable game one Eastern Conference final performance, 16 of his 38 in the fourth quarter. A little bit of Bridges, a little bit of Shamet sprinkled in. A sousance of Anunoby.
Oh.
Write that down.
I don't know how to spell that.
Big okay. Word alert. I think it's with an S.
And like the Knicks come up with the win, and the Cavaliers are now in a fetal position. And this is what Brunson had to say afterwards.
Keep fighting. Keep chipping away. You know, we're not going to get it back in one possession. Most importantly, sticking together. You know, no matter how that game finished, you know, habits translate. And so they get translated to the next game. So just finishing the game strong, regardless of whatever's going on, making sure we're having the right habits. So, you know, we'll be going to the next game. You know, we're doing what we're doing. You know, we're not just giving up. You know, we don't want to give up ever. And so just having faith in each other.
Got to wonder. How many of those words and that mindset was born out of what happened the last time the Knicks hosted a game one of the Eastern Conference? I wonder what happened on that night. Oh, yes, the choke sign.
The bounce.
They're the ones who choked the Knicks' big lead, choked away Tyrese Halliburton with Reggie Miller at the microphone, putting the choke sign. Now Landry Shamet is looking towards the rafters,
Shamet
scoring touchdown, while Kenny Atkinson, the head coach of the Cavs, who is on the griddle today for
just
not one of firing them. Off a timeout or two. Although I saw all of the Brunson montages I've seen, couple timeouts he did fire off. But certainly when Brunson hit that three to make it a 5-point game. That said, he's on the griddle a little bit.
That was the 18-1 run, right?
But the The storyline that will linger all day today and into game two involves James Harden, who, as we all know, is going to the Hall of Fame. He's going to have an orange jacket one day. He will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. He's going there. The question is, what else will be the conversation? And the conversation involving him in the playoffs is that he's going to disappear. And his defense on Brunson is front and center. Front and center, especially when the opposing head coach flat out says he was the target in the fourth quarter. His defensive skills was the target in the fourth quarter, as Mike Brown said after the game.
It's sometimes you got to do what the game dictates, and they were trying to do the same thing with Jalen, and so we said, okay, you know, we feel like we can play that game. We try not to play that game much, but we feel like we have a guy that we can play that game with, and Jalen. And so, you know, just like we have to try to figure out different ways to guard Harden and Mitchell, they got to figure out different ways to guard Jalen. But we were, there is no secret, we were attacking Harden.
No secret. They were attacking Harden. Well, if your eyeballs didn't go ahead and tell you that, the All-NBA podcast that is co-hosted by our first guest of this program, Tim Legler, who was on the call last night, counted out that he was isolated 9 times in the fourth quarter last night. 9. He was the screener defender on 21 on-ball picks in the fourth quarter in overtime alone. And the Knicks damn near averaged 2 points per every one of those. Brunson was 7 of 11 when guarded by Harden, 8 of 18 against everyone else. Mike Brown also apparently has a history in this regard. Hit it, please.
When I was with Golden State, we played Houston in the playoffs. We counted James Harden's dribbles, and we told our guys, "Hey, he's dribbling close to 1,000 times. He's not doing that anymore because they got Donovan Mitchell." But at the time, we were like, "He's dribbling almost 1,000 times a game," and you know, our high guys, KD at like 300 or right below 300. Keep picking them up full court. Keep making them dribble, because at the end of the series, at the end of games, it's going to wear them down. And did it? Probably not. You know, but you know, you say stuff like that to help give your guys a psychological advantage. So I don't know.
He's really feeling himself right now.
You know, I don't know. Wear him down. I don't know. Geez. I mean, we used to do this all the time, Steve Kerr and the rest of the. Yeah. Dynastic Warriors. We used to do that all the time. I mean, I didn't do it. I don't know. They try to do it on Jalen, and we feel like we've got the guy to kind of, you know, spoon it back in their direction. And I'm telling, how will Harden take this? That's the conversation today, because that's the only thing anybody's going to be talking about. This was Harden after the game last night.
I mean, he made some tough ones. He made some tough ones, but you know, obviously we all know he's a great one-on-one player. And you know, I think anybody on the island, it's going to be difficult. So we got to do a better job of making sure he sees bodies. You know, on the other end, you know, they do a good job of you know, supporting him and helping him when he's on the island. So he made some tough ones, but we got to do a better job as a team, just because it's not a one-man job. So you know, got to be better in that aspect. I think he made a couple of them, which, you know, really got them going.
Is he calling for help? What was that? What was that?
Maybe he shouldn't be guarding Jalen Brunson.
Yeah. Because I don't know if you brought Scottie Pippen out, 96 Scottie Pippen, and put him on Brunson last night, maybe that would have stopped him. That dude was on fire last night.
Made some tough ones.
I mean, he was scooping. The one off the glass.
Yeah.
With the left-handed on Wade. Like,
right.
Come on.
He left-handed one in. He right-handed one in, damn near off of Walt Frazier's jersey hanging from the rafters.
Then when Harden was playing good D on him, and he does a step back 26-footer for
it's hard to play defense with both arms around your throat. That is an epic choke job.
Yeah, but that's are we talking James Harden or the entire Cavs?
Well, I mean, there's a reason why every single Brunson shot got the Knicks closer. It's because the Cavaliers weren't scoring themselves.
Epic brick after. Where was Donovan Mitchell in the fourth quarter?
Well, in that regard, as Harden might be pointing out, it's a team game because they went combined, Mitchell and Harden, 1 of 10 from the field, none of 5 from 3-point range for just 3 points and 2 turnovers during that 44-11 run.
Yeah.
And this is what Mitchell had to say afterwards.
As a leader, what's going to be your message to the guys tomorrow?
I said in the locker room, just that. We lost. We blew it. All right, let's round for game 2. Simple as that.
He owned it. 29.4% from the field, team, in the fourth quarter. 6 of 7 in overtime they missed. Over.
Yeah.
And the Knicks weren't missing. They just turned it on. They flipped the switch, and they saved the day.
Speaking of over, this series.
I don't know about that. I'm not going to say that. The Cavs were down 0-2 to Detroit. It's a 60-win Detroit, Chris.
Yeah, but we'd watch Detroit play in the playoffs. They weren't the Knicks in the playoffs.
The Knicks have
been one of the hottest and best shooting, best scoring teams.
I got it.
Throughout this entire postseason.
I'm sorry. The Knicks aren't, in my estimation, as well as they're playing, that good to just wrap it up after one game. No chance. And I'm Mike Brown and the rest of the Knicks, I listen to Jalen Brunson, exactly what he had to say afterwards. And in that regard, listen, I'm a New York Knicks fan. I have been for a while. But even these Knicks fans now, every single game, they go right out there on 7th Avenue, and it's like they're cutting down nets already.
I mean,
I understand it's been forever. I get it. All right? I look at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, who is that old man on occasion? All right? That's how long it's been. All right? All of those Knicks greats that Dolan gives courtside seats to, every last one of them, I'm so excited to see them all celebrating. None of them had rings. Zero of them. Every last one of them. Some it's because of Jordan. Some it's not. You know, when Clyde's sitting there, he's like the only guy. Like if Bill Bradley shows up, like those are the guys. And those rings probably look like little grapes. Small little grapes compared to what is given out these days.
You need Phil Jackson to show up.
So I understand how long it has been. But when I saw a video from 7th Avenue of fans going out on the streets and celebrating this game one win, that they had to pull out of their orify.
Orify.
Okay. Plural. I don't even know if that's a word.
It's a plural version.
All right. If, with the three words of we want Wemby.
I mean.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, please do not say that. Because let me just say this. Because I was out of the chair after game one of the Western Conference Finals. And even though I know I just... I'm counseling, let's not do the knee-jerk reaction. This Eastern Conference Finals is over off of one game. And it's not over in the West, that is for sure.
No.
But watching Victor Wembanyama watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander win the MVP award he so wanted, watching him watch that presentation prior to game one, and then what he did in game one, makes one think that we are all about to be rent payers in this man's world.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to feel after seeing that.
22 years old, man.
There's no other way to feel after what we just saw in that game one victory by the San Antonio Spurs. We out without De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Without him. Into the chamber. Where Oklahoma City Thunder fans stand until there's a basket to start the game. And the Spurs kept them off the board so long, you had to wonder if the blood was somehow still coursing through their legs. And
like
then,
2 minutes.
And then do what they did in this game with Victor Wembanyama leading the way with a 40-20 game. 41 points, 24 rebounds, 9 on offense, 3 blocks, and a 3 from the logo down 3.
So
that is only comparable to Steph Curry.
That was ridiculous.
And when he was coming out of France, and we're like, oh, he's got the handle and 3-point shot of Steph Curry and the shot blocking ability of somebody you've never seen before. His physical skills are remarkable and can't wait to see how he blossoms. None of us knew at the time what I do believe is now apparent to everyone. This guy's best ability, his most special attribute, may be what we don't see and what burns inside. Because if he does have what he's been displaying,
that dog,
he reminds me of Michael Jordan.
Oh,
I know what I just said.
Come on, Rich.
Tiger Woods, those types, Kobe.
Oh,
you, how else can you take it after this is what he says when it's put directly in front of him after he wins this game with his teammates, obviously. Mm-hmm. When it's asked of him directly if he was, in fact, pissed about losing the award to SGA and seeing it awarded in front of him before this game.
Just curious if that was in your mind at all, knowing that Shea had got that award and you were in the top three for it. And, you know, did any part of tonight feel personal? Some of your facial expressions kind of look like you were really, really going for it.
Yeah, for sure. Everything you just said.
What does it feel like to see someone else get the MVP trophy right before you step into, I guess, what is basically the biggest game of your career, and then to have the best performance of your career?
Feels like I still got a lot to learn. And I want to get that trophy, you know, many times in my career.
And you know, Greg Popovich is stoking these flames whenever he has the chance. And you know, Duncan, all of them, right? All of them that came out looking like they were the cast of Goodfellas recently, right? Right? From Reservoir Dogs, getting ready to pull off the job. Look out, man. Honestly, I see it in this day and age, certainly in the NBA, when we're wondering who cares enough? Who matches the fans' flame? Who wants to dominate? Who wants to be great? Who takes this profession personally and balls it up and spits it back at the opponent in their building and takes the heart of the opponent in front of all their fans and shows it to everyone pumping and says, are you not entertained? It reminds me of Jordan. Now then, what happens next? Popcorn is ready. I can't wait.
Tonight is going to be awesome.
I love this guy. I love him. He is sort of like a basketball Ohtani, shooting threes, bringing it up, running the offense through him, then playing defense on the other side of the ball. He's two players in one. And then if you include the fact that he is leading the way with leadership at this age, you saw the way that he was just standing there in front of his teammates who were all pointing at him.
NBC
had the perfect shot. I think he
was a
great shot, guys.
Hang that in the Louvre, man.
Telling you.
Sick. That was after the block on.
I am wondering what we are currently witnessing. That may be an overreaction on a Wednesday.
I don't know, Rich, man. It really felt like Tiger 97 at Augusta.
Am I wrong? Or like, Jordan at the beginning of, honestly.
The big, like, the first time you saw Mahomes play in 2018. You're just like, how are you going to stop this guy?
Right.
Like, the league is about to change.
That's what it feels.
He is taking over.
It feels that way.
Yeah. I mean, I said it yesterday. It feels like he's already now the best player in the league.
And anybody who doesn't feel that way about him is going to hear about it.
Yeah.
Maybe not verbally. Because, again, he's not sitting there silent when asked this question directly because he's trying to find the right words in English. He's trying to find out, how can I say humbly, you're all in trouble?
No, what you say, he said it.
You've made a mistake.
What you said. Everything that you said, yeah, that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Like the reporter did the job for him.
Oh, my God. So, Knick fans out there on 7th Avenue, let's take it one quarter at a time, please.
Yeah, but this isn't new for the Knick fans, right? They've been doing
it.
So it's like, yeah, you can't look at this and go, they've been doing this for years.
They've been
hyped. The reason why Ewing is sitting there celebrating ringless is the same guy I just invoked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that guy may be coming to Madison Square Garden very soon. If the Knicks are lucky.
Well, Ewing had the bad luck of not only having Jordan, but then having Olajuwon when Olajuwon was at his peak in the great. So,
well, he was one who
he was just remember snake bit.
And people are invoking Hakeem's name.
Yeah, because Robinson
David
got
Robinson won it in front of him, and he's like, "I'll show you."
And
the dream turned into a nightmare.
He destroyed.
Yes,
and David Robinson doesn't get enough credit as one of the greatest basketball.
But
Hakeem Olajuwon, what he did on that night,
But I'll go more Jordan than Hakeem because who did Ewing see in college?
Yeah.
Jordan did it at two levels.
Yeah. How many?
I said two.
Okay.
All right, let's take a break. We got a lot bottled up. I was thinking that the other night. I'm like, I cannot wait to get back in the chair and talk about it.
The only thing I disagree with, Rich, is you said Wemby's like, are you not entertained? I get the feeling he doesn't care if you're entertained or not.
No, I think
he's going to go out there and do it regardless.
He wants to kill you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's fine. But
if
I think
everything
he wants
was different, it would have been different.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we take a break. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I've got a power rankings based on the NFL schedule. The top 10 games I'm looking forward to seeing coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your vehicle's check engine ABS or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. Rich Eisen here. Take a second and look at your city's calendar. Everywhere I go, there's always something coming up. Games, concerts, conventions, tournaments, the kind of events that bring people in from all over. And when that happens, you can feel it. More energy, more fans, and a whole lot more people looking for a place to stay. So here's something to think about. If your city has that kind of buzz, if big events are on the way, listing your space on Airbnb could be a great opportunity. If you're already planning to be out of town or you've got a trip coming up, why not make your place work for you while you're gone? You've got the space and you're not using it. It could be earning you some extra cash. I know when I travel for these big events, I'm not just looking for a place to crash. I want something comfortable and safe, a place that allows me to experience the city like a local. And that's exactly what you can do by offering to list your space. No big lifestyle change, no long-term commitment, just making smart use of the space you already have. So the next time your city draws a crowd, think about listing your space on Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Alongside Chris Brockman, Mike Beltufo, TJ Jefferson, and James Schrempf.
Schrempf.
Everybody who's listening right now, you've got to check out our television version to know what the heck that means.
Dan used to say it. Schrempf.
Schrempf. Oh, speaking of Dan, I saw him on Friday.
Nice.
Yeah, I saw that.
Interviewed him to complete the first season of This Was Sports.
Amazing.
Woo.
That's going to be launching on Disney Plus on June 5th.
Did he ask about us?
He did not.
Okay.
He did not.
All right, just curious.
But again, I'm interviewing old school SportsCenter anchors. And Dan,
it's very,
first
very cool.
One.
Yeah,
you've seen a few of these already.
I've seen a few of them.
Recorded.
I've been here in person for them. Yeah. They are phenomenal.
And the one with Dan, we talked for an hour and a half, and we could have gone another hour and a half.
Yeah,
but it was his birthday.
Oh,
so I had to, you know, let him go back to his family.
Aw,
family.
But it was great. We'll talk more about it as we get closer. Stuff.
Love it.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. We'll get to your calls. I see some win-loss gamers want to play. And I've missed the game. I've missed it. But the schedule got released. A couple things I do want to say here, okay, before we get to my power rankings. I am not a fan of the first game on opening night.
I'm with you.
I'm you know, obviously, I'm not talking about the Melbourne game. I thought they would put the Bears in Seattle and save the Super Bowl rematch for later in the year instead of serving up that piece of filet mignon to start. And also, I don't know.
The reasoning was what? It won't be as more relevant as it was to start the year? That was what they
said. It wasn't like last year. But last year, all we talked about leading up into that game was the previous time they played.
Right.
Yeah,
I just don't even know. Wasn't that so compelling of a game that it's like, oh, I can't wait for the rematch. Yeah. You know, like you could name the last few Super Bowls that you'd rather see repeated because of the way it ended. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Right. I mean, if the Eagles and Chiefs opened up against each other after that defensive penalty allowed the Chiefs to run out the clock, for instance, the Niners and the Chiefs, the way that game ended in overtime, like running that back right away.
Bengals, Rams, any of those games.
Right, running those games back right away would have kept some sort of appetite that we felt still existed from the way the previous game ended. This one was, you know, not all that compelling, to be honest. I was there. I thought the Bad Bunny halftime was more compelling than the game. As you know.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So running it back now, I just thought running it back with Bears at Seattle, the NFC matchup that almost was, the Bears are, I think, a little bit more identifiable. Let me ask you this question. The team that you think, and I know who I'm asking this to, and thus I will crowdsource the entire room here without you because you're such a troll, Mike. I know the way you're going to answer this question.
Thank you.
The team that is going to be more likely to be a carbon copy, if not maybe better than last year's team, Patriots or Bears?
Oh, I would say everyone's on the Bears.
Right?
I mean, Caleb has got a lot of juice for MVP talk, and we saw what the Ben Johnson offense is. Let's see that in year two.
Correct.
I think definitely it would be the Bears.
So of a curiosity factor, what do they look like in year two?
For sure.
If the Pats get Brown...
Now, that's true, too.
But the problem with the Patriots is there's also, the Brown stuff. There's also kind of all this weird drama with the head coach. And, why do you want to put that on full display week one in front of the whole country?
There's also offensive line issues, you know, with New England that needs to be addressed or rectified.
Yeah.
It might take a couple of weeks.
You don't know what that's going to look like.
For them to get their sea legs under them, you know, and that's not a pun on, purposeful. What would you say? Bears or Patriots? Who's got the better odds? Or who's more likely to repeat
last year's
performance, if not improve upon it?
I was going to say the Bears, but then Del Tufo chimed in, right? And the A.J. Brown thing is compelling.
What does he look like? If he goes to New England, what does he look like with New England on night one?
He looks like the best wide receiver that they've had in years, right?
That's for sure. There's no doubt about that.
100%. And the fact that Caleb did lose a receiver...
I just think that's Bears and Seahawks would have been a more compelling opening night matchup than a Super Bowl rematch, which is wild to say. But yet we almost got Bears-Seattle.
But Chris, I think what you said earlier is the reason they did it.
Because of the drama?
You don't think that's going to put extra eye? I mean, obviously, you're going to have all the eyes on the world, but that's how this world works. Not. People like drama. They love this.
I know, but there's no... That's not why the...
Right. When is Seattle playing the Bears? I guess I totally missed that.
Well,
so week eight,
right here.
Week eight.
I know.
On Monday night.
And you're trying to figure out, that's obviously not going to be a slouch of a game in week eight.
Right.
No.
But I just, the first night banner raise evening is always just as a it's a weird game. It's a weird night. Always is sort of like last year. CeeDee Lamb loses the ball in the lights after, by the way, there's a weather delay for an hour. I understand that that's not something you can schedule against, yeah. But I don't know. It's going to be it's a tough opener, man.
Look, they got the Sunday night Patriots. Game, right? We know that.
That is a tough opener, to say the least.
Well, the Pats' first four games are pretty tough.
I mean, you look at New England's first four games, sure. It's at tough. Seattle, home for Pittsburgh, at Jacksonville, at Buffalo. Three of their first fours on the road.
Against playoff teams.
And then Vegas comes in, and New England tries to get some revenge for their week one home opening loss of the Mike Vrabel era to the Pete Carroll the biggest, Vegas Raiders, which still stands as the wildest, weirdest,
wildest result.
Most inexplicable result of 2025's regular season, which, by the way, you know,
worked out,
almost cost New England, you know, seeding and things of that nature. But there's at Chicago. That's New England at Chicago on Prime Video. And it's you take a look at every single game on the schedule. It just looks amazing. And I'm going to get to my power rankings in a second. But let's play my first win-loss game.
Let's do it.
Of the 2026 non-playing season. Let's have some fun. Let's go to Malik in State College, Pennsylvania. Jefferson's home
Rich.
Commonwealth.
814. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Yeah. And we just want to set this. I just want to set this up properly. That you are in the town of Penn State University, which T.J. Jefferson roots for, the conundrum that he's a Cowboy fan who roots for Penn State but hates the Eagles, who you're calling in to play the win-loss game for.
That's not the conundrum. Interesting.
It is an absolute shame. I feel so bad for you all the time, TJ. I live in State College, but I don't root for Penn State. So
wow, why is that?
That's worse than me.
Why?
I actually grew up outside of Bucknell.
Okay.
So
okay.
I just kind of just root for Bucknell.
And you're saying it's tough for TJ to be a Cowboy fan. And you're sitting there in the home of Penn State football, and you're like, yeah, I kind of root for Bucknell.
I will never disagree. A friend of mine played for Bucknell.
Well, nobody looks for us. Nobody looks for us to do anything. Well, so anytime you do anything, it's a win.
Malik,
you know what I mean? So.
Here's the weird thing. We're now going to switch gears. You're playing the win-loss game for Bucknell. Put the schedule. Oh, we don't have that.
Unbelievable.
Graphically supported. All right, give him some music here. Let's do it. Malik in State College, Pennsylvania. Win-loss game for the Philadelphia Eagles. What happens when they open up at home against the Washington Commanders?
Oh, come on. We got to take that one home. That's an easy win.
All right. There we go. What do we got? Week two at the Tennessee Titans.
You know, I think the Titans are going to be dangerous just because, you know, you're coming in with a lot of new stuff. But I think we leave with the win.
Okay. Very respectful. W there. Here we go. At the Bears on a Monday night, week three. What do we got?
I think this is going to be our first loss.
Okay. 2-1. Rams at Eagles. Oh, boy. Week four.
Yeah. You know, the last two times we've played, it's been down to the last play, and I think that dam does break. Unfortunately, it isn't this year. Give me the Birds.
Okay. That's 3-1 going off to London to take on the Jaguars.
Yeah, we're going to take that win, too.
4-1, home for the Panthers.
Yeah, we're going to – that's a win. That's a win.
All right. 5-1, Monday night, home against the Cowboys.
You know, I think we're going to split these games. I think it's going to be a loss for each home team, so give me a loss here.
Okay, that's 5-2 now at the Commanders.
I think we're going to sweep these guys this year. I really do. I feel it.
Okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 2. Home for the Giants.
I'm going to be at that game in person, so I got to have a win for that.
7-2, Steelers at Eagles, the Commonwealth Bowl.
Oh, yeah, come on, Aaron Rodgers, that's a win.
That's 8-2, Thanksgiving at Dallas.
I think this is where the Eagles pull up. It's a big game. I think we put up some big numbers this game. That's a win.
9-2.
Woo!
At the Cardinals.
That's a win.
10-2, home for the Colts.
I think it's a win. There's just too much in the air with them.
11-2, a Saturday night against the Seattle Seahawks.
I think that's a loss, fortunately.
11-3, Texans at the Eagles on Christmas Eve.
Oh, give me the win on that one. I think we're going to be hungry.
All right. At the 49ers.
That's a loss, I think.
12-4, home, at the Giants.
I actually am going to give this one to the Giants. Okay. I think we're probably going to rest our starters, and okay. I think they're going to take a look.
Malik at State College, ladies and gentlemen, the Bucknell fan, 12-5. There he goes. Okay. Going off to root for Bucknell. Quickly, what conference is Bucknell playing?
Oh, jeez. I know their name. I don't know the conference.
I think it's called the Roll Your Break Conference.
Yeah. They open up against Richmond.
Hey, against the Spiders.
Yeah, Spiders.
Dance that drink over here.
Dance that drink.
All right. I've got my power rankings of the best games on the NFL schedule coming up next.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Most protein drinks ask you to choose between results and taste. Bucked Up decided that's a ridiculous trade-off. Bucked Up makes lightly carbonated protein drinks, 25 grams of protein per can, clear protein, not milky or thick, and they taste so good that 25 grams of protein almost feels like a bonus. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, ladies and gentlemen, our friends at Hyundai want to let you know,
yeah,
out there, there's the Hyundai Palisade Hybrid.
Get it?
Ooh-wee. Where you can make every day feel epic, up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, class-leading interior space, hauling kids, gear, snacks, and backpacks. You know space definitely matters. So does comfort. Just make sure they keep those cleats off the seats, everybody. The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
That's a good read,
everybody.
Man.
I got power rankings.
Power rankings.
Of the NFL schedule presented by SoFi. Hit it.
Hit it.
This is my
power rankings. All right, here we go. Power rankings of the NFL schedule presented by SoFi. There's more than 10 games on here, I'm not going to lie. Certainly, when you start to 10, number 10 on the list, everybody, is when the Bucs and Falcons play each other twice.
Ooh.
I don't care which one.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Bucs.
I got to give some love to the NFC South, guys.
I mean, you don't have to.
Why? I got to give some love to it. Because we all know, I mean, Baker quotes... it's tweeted out on January 20th after Stefanski got hired by Atlanta. Quote, still waiting on a text call from him after I got shipped off like a piece of garbage. Can't wait to see you twice a year, coach.
I said two.
How about that? How about that? So Baker versus Atlanta and Stefanski. Kind of dig it.
That's fun.
Number 9 on the list. Week 3, Monday Night Football, Eagles at Bears. Don't forget what the Bears did in Philadelphia last year, day after Thanksgiving. They punked the Eagles.
Yeah, that was awesome.
In their house. Punked them. So what happens week 3? Okay? And we just play the win-loss game for the Philadelphia Eagles. They're home for Washington. They're at Tennessee. And then they've got this game in Chicago. Here we go. Chicago starting off at Carolina, home for Minnesota, then this one. It's going to be big. It's going to be a marker for either one of these teams. Number 8. Week 18, I have no idea if this is going to be Aaron Rodgers' last regular season game of his career, last game of his career. I do not know. But Steelers at Ravens may be for the entire AFC North shooting match, and I can't wait for it. This is a Week 18 game, Steelers at Ravens. I didn't choose the Ravens at Steelers. I chose this one. Because it could be for all of the Rodgers marbles, all of the AFC North marbles, number 7. Week 6, Monday Night Football. It's Micah's old team coming back to Green Bay. It's Rashawn Gary coming back to Green Bay. Kenny Clark coming back to Green Bay. Will Micah be healthy? Maybe this is one of those games where he'll be back. Maybe he comes back just for it. I don't know. But Cowboys, Packers, old school stuff. Week 6, Monday Night Football, 7th on the list. Number 6 on the list is Seattle at San Francisco, and I'm choosing Week 12. Because the Thanksgiving lineup is so loaded with 5 games before the weekend.
I know.
That you're wondering what's left on the schedule. And if Week 12 is just one big stinking on ice for the rest of us to sit there on Sunday because the league loaded up everything at the beginning of the week, this is a big game. Another one is Ravens at Houston. So those are big Sunday games. This one in particular, Seattle at San Francisco. Last time this happened, the 1 seed was on the line and Seattle punked the 49ers. So that's a big one. Number 5 on the list, Ravens at Bills, Week 8, right there in the middle of the season. Lamar at Josh Allen. Let's go.
Yeah.
Fun. Fun stuff. I can't wait to see it.
The Under Pressure Bowl, Brockman.
Say that again?
The Under Pressure Bowl.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, that's a Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, Bills are coming off of a bye in that regard as
nice.
Well. Number 4, I put this one here just because, again, it's a Super Bowl rematch. I already said earlier that I was disappointed it's not Bears at Seattle. But it is the opening Thursday night. Banner raised. 12's going crazy. It could be A.J. Brown's first game as a Patriot. Drake May there. Let's go. Can't wait. Week 1. Number 3 on the list is, I think, the better game. And it's in Australia. I think, you know, San Francisco and the Rams. Let's go. NFC West football. This could be one of, I mean, this is a big one for the Rams because this is their home game against San Francisco. Or, as San Francisco might point out, they lost a home game because it's not being played in SoFi. Number 2 on this list, I don't care if it's a cop-out or not. I can't choose one for the entirety of this thing.
Come on, pick one.
If I had to pick one, it's Chiefs-Bills. If I had to pick one, it's Chiefs-Bills. But Packers, Rams, Bears, Lions, Eagles, Cowboys, Chiefs, Bills, Broncos, Steelers.
Eagles, Cowboys.
With all due respect to everyone else, if everybody's healthy, these are massive games. Massive. But the number one is the Christmas games. The Christmas slate games.
All of them?
How can you? Packers, Bears, Buffalo, Denver, Rams, Seattle. Ooh, last time the Rams were in Seattle, we all know what happened. The 2-point conversion, all that craziness.
Yeah.
That's going to be nuts. Christmas. Unbelievable, that triple header. And those are my power rankings of the NFL schedule brought to you by SoFi. Get your money right. Back for hour 2 and Tim Legler on the NBA playoffs.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
This is what everyone's talking about.
Everything's on the table.
This is what champions come to take. This is what everyone came to see.
And the slam!
No do-overs. No second chances. No more Mr. Nice Guy. This is Winner Take All. And it's all happening now on the home of the NBA Finals. Don't miss it. June 3rd on ABC and the ESPN app.